with you. It's a big schuss to be with Klal Yisrael this close to the Yom HaDin, and especially people who are interested in getting involved in really helping. Like Avi just explained, the more people who are ready to help, the more people who can be the recipients of our kindness. And Avi and I were working on a balanced approach to Rosh Hashanah. Because on the one hand, Rosh Hashanah has a very personal component. On the one hand, like Avi was describing a moment ago, we have to see ourselves as part of a team called Klal Yisrael. So I want to start actually with Chodesh Elul. Chodesh Elul, there are many Ramazim, there are many acronyms, there are many allusions, such as Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. Okay, we've got one. Let's keep going. Ish L'Re'ehu U'Matanos L'Avyonim. That's two. Purim, we got a little Purim involved. What else? Es Levavcha V'Es Levav Zarecha. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Pasuk says, U'mal Hashem Elokecha Es Levavcha, God will circumcise your heart. V'Es Levav Zarecha. So Es Levavcha V'Es Levav is also Rashi Tevos Elul. Ina Liyada, very good. Ina Liyada, the Arizal says in Parshas Mishpatim, it describes a person who kills Bishogek, who kills by accident, and is sent to an Ir Mikla. And it says if he didn't ambush a person, if it was truly an accident, that Elokim Ina Liyado, Aleph Lamed, Ina Liyado, Visamti Lecha Makom, Asher Yanus Shama. Then we prepare a place for one who killed by accident to run to an Ir Mikla, a safe haven, a sanctuary city. So we have all these interesting Ramazim to Chodesh Elul. Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, Es Levav Chav Es Levav, Ish L'Re'ehu Matanos Levyonim, Ina L'Yado V'Samti Lecha. It's an interesting collection. If you look in the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, you'll see all of the ones that you just mentioned, we mentioned together. But I was thinking about it this week. I was thinking about it in the context of how Elul prepares us for the Yom Noram, and how Elul gets us ready for Rosh Hashanah. And I really think you could go through all four of them and really break it down. But let's divide it into two basic categories. Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. Me and Hashem. That's it. Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. I am to my beloved. My beloved is to me. This has nothing to do with anyone else. I'm sitting alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu trying to figure out our personal, private, exclusive relationship. The exclusivity of a marriage. Ani L'Dodi. I am to my beloved and my beloved is to me. That's one aspect of how we prepare ourselves for Rosh Hashanah, because that's very true. In a certain sense, as we'll see, it really is only between you and Hashem. That's what Rosh Hashanah is. It's a private encounter, Yom Kippur even more so. It's a private encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet, on the other hand, look at all of the other Ramazim. Ish L'Re'ehu U'Matanos L'Avyonim. The relationship, the responsibility that we have to one another. Es Levavcha V'Es Levav Zarecha. It's not only your heart, but first and foremost, it's your family. And our family means Klal Yisrael. And it could even be an ish, a person who I don't even know, I don't really know who this person is, but they get themselves into trouble. Ina liyado v'samti lecha makom asher yanus shama. And we, the Jewish people, have a responsibility to provide a safe environment for that individual where he's able to work through that particular aveira. So you see sort of two tracks in terms of the Ramazim of Chodesh Elul. You have the very private, very exclusive Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li track. And then you have the track that says we have to see our lives in part of a larger context called the Jewish people. Ish L'Re'ehu, my good friends, Matanos L'Avyonim, my responsibility to the Jews who are struggling. Es Levavcha V'Es Levav Zarecha, my responsibility to my children, to my family. My responsibility to a stranger who got himself into trouble. There's two tracks as we prepare ourselves for the Yom HaDin. And the truth is, it's really captured very simply in the life of a Jew, in a Mishnah Pirkei Avos. What Mishnah am I referring to? Im ein ani li mili. If I don't take my own life seriously, if I don't take full responsibility for myself, then who on earth could I expect to do that for me? And at the very same time, ukesha ani la'atzmi, if I become my own thing, I don't work as part of a team, I don't see my life, again, in the context of a society, of a world, so then, what good am I? The teaching of Hillel HaZaken in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. In Ein Ani Li Mili, if I'm not true to myself, if I'm not going to take personal achrayas for my life, then Mi Li, then what will become of me? But Kesha Ani La'atzmi, but if I operate too independently, if I think I'm going to do this entirely on my own, it's not going to work. Mo Ani, what good am I? So let's talk about these two treks. That's tonight's topic. Standing alone and together before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how we prepare ourselves for the Yom HaDin. Let's talk about the private trek. We'll start with the private trek. It's very, very interesting. It's extremely interesting to think about that we don't really have halachos of tshuva. Now you may respond by saying, what do you mean? The Rambam, Maimonides, wrote a magnificent work of tshuva, Hilchos Tshuva, 10 Prakim, where the Rambam teaches us how to do tshuva, and what it means to do tshuva, what it means to truly do tshuva. So yes, we have the Rambam, Hilchos Tshuva, but Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky pointed out something very interesting. The halacha doesn't usually stop at the Rambam, at Maimonides. We have the Torah, we have the Shulchan Aruch, we have the codification of halacha. And the question is, why don't we have a Shulchan Aruch? Why didn't Rav Yosef Cairo write Hilchos Tshuva? He wrote Hilchos everything else, Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Brachos, Hilchos Tefillah, how to daven, how to keep Shabbos, how to keep kosher. He wrote halachos of how to learn Torah. We have a Hilchos Talmud Torah, how to give tzedakah, how to honor your parents, how to get married. Why don't we have, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky wondered, why don't we have a Hilchos Tshuva in the Shulchan Aruch? And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said, it's because tshuva is a very, very personal thing. It's almost too personal for Rav Yosef Cairo, who guides us in everything, literally from tying our shoes to how to use the bathroom. But Hilchos Tshuva is so personal, it's so individualized, that to try to put it into writing, to try to say, this is how you have to do tshuva, would be a little bit unfair to what tshuva itself is. And therefore, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said, because of that sensitive nature of tshuva, because it's so personal, because my relationship with Hashem is so individualized, it really has to be something that I figure out almost on my own. There are no halachos in the Shulchan Aruch of Hilchos Tshuva. Someone once came to the Brisker Rav, it was Erev Yom Kippur, and he said to the Brisker Rav, Rebbe, I want a bracha that I should be zocha to do tshuva this year. So the Brisker Rav said, what are you talking about? He said to him in Yiddish, a bracha of machin tshuva, a bracha of how to do tshuva. You can't give a bracha to someone to do tshuva. You can't ask a Rebbe to give you a bracha for tshuva. If you're struggling having children, if you're struggling making a living, you go to a Rebbe, you go to a tzaddik, you go to a great person, and they give you advice, and they give you a blessing. But I can't give you a bracha that you should be chozer in tshuva. That's up to you. That is entirely up to you. The Brisker Rav thought he was out of his mind for asking for a bracha for tshuva. Because tshuva, again, is that very personal encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can't really include anyone else in that encounter. I can't go to a Rebbe or a Tzaddik. I have to figure it out on my own. I have to be real. I have to look deep inside myself and figure out what does it mean for me to stand before the Ribbono Shel Olam on Rosh Hashanah during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva and on Yom Kippur. Let's learn together a Gemara that describes what happens on Rosh Hashanah. The way we talk about Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah says there are four Rosh Hashanahs. The Mishnah describes in Maseches Rosh Hashanah and Daf Tezayin, Ba'arba Prakim Ha'olam Nidon. At four different junctures of the calendar year, the world is being judged. On Pesach, we're being judged for grain. We're being judged for grain. Ba'atzeres Al Peiros Ha'ilan. Be'Rosh Hashanah, what happens on Rosh Hashanah, what we call Rosh Hashanah, what's coming up a couple of days from now? B'Rosh Hashanah kol bay olam overin lefanav kibnei maron. Says the Mishnah on Rosh Hashanah, kol bay olam, everyone in the world. Let's remind ourselves, Rosh Hashanah is not, even though it's the Jews who end up in shul, Rosh Hashanah is for everyone. Yom Kippur is for Jews. Rosh Hashanah is for the whole world. We'll come back to that, seeing things in context. Everyone comes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu kibnei maron. What are bnei maron? So the Gemara has a discussion several blot later on Daf Yud Chesam at Aleph. The Gemara says, what does that mean? Everyone passes before God, Kibnei Maron. And the Gemara gives three explanations of what it means to come before Hashem, Kibnei Maron. My Kibnei Maron, says the Gemara, Hacha Targimu Kibnei Imrana, like sheep. Bnei Maron is Imrana. Imrana is Aramaic for sheep. We pass before Hashem like sheep. One possibility. Reish Lakish Amar, B'nei Maron is a contraction of Kima'alat Beis Maron. Rashi explains Beis Maron means steps leading up, Kima'alot, the steps leading up to Beis Maron, a very, very steep climb. We pass before Hashem like people passing or climbing, either ascending, descending, through this very steep passage. And Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, gave an opinion. Kechayalos shel beis David. Like the soldiers in the army of David HaMelech. Rashi looks at this Gemara, and he says, all three ideas are really one and the same. Each expressed in their own way, but Rashi sees it all as being essentially one idea that's being conveyed. And that is, kebnei imrana, like sheep. When the sheep are exiting the pen, as we're counting the sheep in order to separate every 10th sheep to Hashem, Maiser Behema, so the sheep pass by single file, one by one by one by one. Kibnei Maron, on Rosh Hashanah, everyone passes before God like a sheep, single file exiting the corral. The second opinion, Kama'alos Beis Maron, like the steps, the steep steps leading up that cliff, says Rashi again, single file. If you're going to try to go two people at a time, you're going to fall off the cliff. Rashi says, Haderech Chatzar, it's very narrow, it's very crowded. The Ein Shnayim Yecholin Leilich Zebetzad Zeh. Two cannot walk side by side. Every man for himself. You have to walk carefully up that cliff independently. Again, the image of what? Single file. And lastly, says the Gemara, a third opinion, like the soldiers of the army of David HaMelech, says Rashi, how do soldiers march? Single file. Yotzim Zeh Acher Zeh. One by one by one. So the image, at least one image that the Gemara is painting for us, what does Rosh Hashanah look like? Everyone line up, single file, we're about to pass before God. Now you want to get a good place in the line. It's important to get a good place in the line. That's what the Sfarim tell us. The Bali Musar say, if you show up early, if you fall into a line earlier on, there's a better chance that the king, Kiviyachol, will be less tired of dealing with people. So it's worthwhile to get started in the tshuva process as soon as you can. But the bottom line is, on Rosh Hashanah, everyone is going to pass before Hashem, one by one by one. Why is that so? Why should tshuva be single file? Why, like we learned a moment ago, is there no hilchos tshuva? It's so personal. Why? What is it about tshuva that it has to operate in such a way? And I think the answer is very simple if we understand what tshuva is. What is tshuva? What are we trying to do? Teshuva is not only returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but tshuva is the opportunity for every single Jew, man, woman, and child, to return to oneself. Tshuva is a return to self. And therefore, just as every individual is entirely a unique world, just as no two people, as the Gemara says, look exactly alike, and no two voices sound exactly alike, and no two people think exactly alike, everyone thinks independently. Sure, we share ideas, but everyone has their own perspective, their own outlook on life. Bishvili nivra ha'olam, as Chazal say in the Mishnah Sanhedrin. Every individual is a private individual world. So if tshuva is about discovering my inner world, well, if I acknowledge the fact that my world is entirely unique, so then of course it's single file. Of course I have to do this on my own. Of course there's only so much that someone else could tell me about what it means to be chozer b'tshuva, to return to Hashem. To fall in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As we say every day in Shema, love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha. The Chavetz Chaim, whose yahrzeit was yesterday, said, b'chol levavcha, with your heart, right? And with your faculties, and with your mind, and with your... It can only be... The only way to truly love Hashem, in an honest and sincere way, is you do it in your own way. Of course, there's a framework that Jews operate within. But there's something very, very, very personal about tshuva. And therefore the Gemara says, three mashalim of that single file, that very personal, individualized experience. Like sheep passing one by one, like the steep incline of the Beis Maron, like the steps, where you can only pass, again, single file without falling off the mountain. You can't go with zeh b'tzad zeh, as Rashi says. And lastly, like the soldiers marching single file. Sometimes in life, when people are trying to better themselves, or at least they think they want to better themselves, and they think about tshuva, and they want to do tshuva, but sometimes we end up not taking enough personal achrayus. Sometimes we're very quick to point fingers at others, to blame other people for the reason that it wasn't such a great year, it was my surroundings, it was something other than myself. And the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah says there could be no such thing. The Gemara tells a very delicate story about an individual named Elazar ben Dordaya. Elazar ben Dordaya was a person who was very active in terms of sexually immoral behavior. And he traveled the world, literally. He made it his life's work to sleep around with as many prostitutes as he could find. And the Gemara describes how this individual found out about a certain woman who he had never heard of before, and he paid an exorbitant sum of money to travel to her. And she basically says to him, you're a complete lowlife. I mean, I'm a zona, I'm an isha zona, I'm not the biggest tzaddikus in the world, but you're a really disgusting human being. And something clicked in that moment. He realized, what have I dedicated my life to? And he decides he wants to change. And the Gemara describes it in that moment, he sets out to do tshuva, but he doesn't know how he's going to be able to do it on his own. And he starts turning, interestingly enough, not to people to help him, but he turns to the world around him. The Gemara says, he asks, he petitions, Harim ugvos bikshu alai rachamim. Mountains, hilltops, daven for me. I need a lot of rachmanis, I need a lot of help if I'm going to figure this out. He's begging the mountains. He turns to the sky and he says, please help me. Shemayim v'aretz bikshu alai rachamim. And everything he turns to, they say, nah, we've got our own problems. The mountains and the hilltops, we've got our own problems. He turns to the stars and the heavens. He turns to the sun and the moon. Chamu levana, help me. Nah, we've got our own issues. You take care of yourself. Kochavim, mazalos, constellations, stars. Someone, something. Is there anyone out there? And at the end of the day, the way the Gemara presents, all of his efforts are rebuffed. They said, get lost. You're on your own, buddy. This is the life that you've chosen for yourself. Now you have to answer for it. And he understands that, you know what? I'm going to answer for it. Amar ein hadavar taloi ella bi. One of my favorite couple of words in Chazal. He comes finally to that realization that what? Ein hadavar taloi ella bi. And the way the Sfarim explained this Gemara. What does it mean? He was asking the stars to daven for him. He was asking the sun and the moon, the mountaintops. The way it's explained by Rav Chaim Friedlander is that sometimes in life, people start to what? They blame their environment. It's the city I was born in. It's my parents. It was that Rebbe I had in first grade. It was that neighbor. It was this. It was that. If Hashem would have given me this, or he would have given me that. If I would have been born in a different time period, then everything would have worked out. Until finally a person stops with all of that and says, Im ein ani li mili. Ein hadavar talei ela bi. He realized, I can't blame that I'm living in a perverse society, so I got involved in all sorts of immoral behavior. At the end of the day, these were choices that I made, and I need to come single file before God and answer for my behavior. And that's exactly what he does. He decides in that moment, I'm going to recreate myself. Listen to the imagery. Heiniach rosho bein birkov. He tucked his head between his knees. He got into a fetal position, like a child who is yet to be born. Vigob b'chia, and he cried himself, not to sleep, but to death. He said, I need to start my entire life over. And that's what he did. He went into a fetal position. That's how the Maharal explains the Gemara. He tucked his head between his knees and he cried himself to death. And you know what happened in that moment? It was such a sincere moment of a Jew owning it, of stepping up, of realizing I have to take personal responsibility. I can't blame my roommate. I can't blame my spouse. I can't blame my children. I can't blame my parents. I can't blame my teachers. I can't blame my community. I can't blame the world in which I was born into. I can't blame anyone or anything. I have to look deep inside and say, Ein hadavar talei ela bi. And in that moment, that's exactly what he did to such a degree. Listen to the end of the Gemara. If you never heard this Gemara, you're going to fall off your seat. Yatzta baskol, a heavenly voice came out, the Amra, and declared, Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya mezumen l'chai olam haba. You just earned olam haba, and guess what? It comes with free smicha. Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya. Do you remember who this guy was? I don't feel comfortable saying it again this close to the Aron Kodesh. This was a person who was involved in some pretty low stuff. But he was so sincere, he was so real, he got into line, he passed before Hashem, he didn't blame anyone else, he owned up to his own life, Ein Adavar Talei Ela Bi, and he mamish became Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya. A hero of tshuva. A hero of taking achrayas for one's life. What an amazing thing. One of the tefillos that we say in the davening of the Yom Noram, it's a little bit of a sad tefillah, but if you understand it properly, it's a very deep tefillah. We say, in the Shmona Esrei, we say, Elokai, my God. Ad shelo notzarti eini kadai. Before I was created, eini kadai. I couldn't justify my existence. Va'achshav shelo notzarti, and now that I exist, ki'ilu lo notzarti, I'm still failing. It's very sad. Right? I was worthless before I existed, and I'm still worthless now. So Hashem, please, you know, like, have rachmanis on me and give me life. It's a very sad tefillah. Rav Kook, in his commentary on the Siddur, the Olas Haraya, the Olas Haraya of Rav Kook explains so beautifully, Rav Misak HaKohen Kook, says, I'll tell you how to understand this tefillah. Here's what we're saying. Elokai ad shelo notzarti eini kedai. We're not speaking in a self-deprecating fashion, saying, I was worthless before and I'm still worthless now. What are we really saying? Rabbono Sho'olam, ad shelo notzarti eini kedai. Before I was born, it didn't make sense for me to exist. And you know what the proof of that is? You know why we can never say, oh, if I would have just been in the time period of the Chafetz Chaim, or the Vilna Gaon, or Sara Imenu, if I would have had Avram and Sarah teaching me Torah, teaching me about monotheism, I'd be a different person. But you put me in a world filled with heresy and kfira and taiva and perverse behavior. So what do you want from me, God? We say in the tefillah, we acknowledge the fact, Atshalonotzarti, before I existed, Eini Kedai, it wasn't my time yet. Eini Kedai didn't make sense to create me. Kol Oso, listen to Rav Kook. Listen to the words of Rav Kook. Kol Oso Zman HaBilti Mugbo. Shemeolam ad shenotzarti. From the perspective of Hashem, the infinity, beyond time, the entirety of existence, from that time until I, Moshe Tzvi Weinberg, was born on Yud Tes Iyar 1981, it didn't make sense for me to exist. It did not make sense for me to exist. It didn't make sense for me to be born in 1971 or in 1771. Okay, maybe I would have liked to have been born, you know, in the early 1700s, I could have met the Baal Shem Tov, I could have met some great people, the Rechaim HaKadosh, a lot of tzaddikim. And maybe I would have loved to have seen Moshe Rabbeinu with my physical eyes. But I was born in Philadelphia in 1981, Lankenau Hospital. That's where I come from. And Hashem said, that's exactly the moment that you needed to be born. Ad shelo notzarti eini kedai. V'adai lo haya davar ba'olam shayat tzarech li. You know why I didn't exist, says Rav Kook? Because the world didn't need you yet. What do you mean? I could have done great things in the 17th century. I could have done awesome things had I lived 1,000 years ago, and I could have studied under Rashi, and I'd be a much greater Talmud Chacham. Says Rav Kook, that's very nice. But the very fact that you weren't born then is the proof that you weren't needed then. Ki im hayisi chaser b'shvil eiza tachlis v'ashlama hayisi notzar. Because if you were needed to accomplish something in the world then you would have been born then. So why did Hashem make me the individual b'shvili nivra ha'olam? Eina davar talei ala bi, im eina nili mili, why did Hashem make me now? The cave and shalom notzarti ad oso azman, who os shalom ayisi kedai ad oz libaros. It must be, Hashem doesn't make mistakes. Hashem didn't put us in the wrong families. Hashem didn't put us in the wrong community. I speak to students all the time and they say, oh, had I gone to, you know, a different type of high school, had I had a different education in elementary school, had I been born in this environment, now more religious, so now like I think, I wish I would have been born in Mea Shearim or B'nai Brak, right? Instead of wherever I was born, I would be better. So let me tell you something. Let Rav Kook tell you something. Had you meant to have been born then, in that place, with those parents, in that community, with those values from, you know, from the time you were a baby, had you not discovered God a little bit later in life, like many of us perhaps have, right? If that's what it was supposed to be, then that's what would have happened. Hashem didn't mess up. The tragedy of this tefillah, the sad part of the tefillah, which even Rav Kook acknowledges, is the second part. Ad shelo notzarti eini kedai. Don't feel bad that you didn't exist before because you were born exactly when you need to be born. However, achshav shenotzarti ki'ilu lo notzarti. But the tragedy is we're so busy blaming everything around us or looking for an escape. I wish I would have been someone else or somewhere else that we don't own up to our life, and therefore we confess before Hashem during the Yom Noram, I've let you down. I haven't justified my existence. But again, the avoda of Rosh Hashanah is that a Jew comes before Hashem, single file, and says, Hashem, I'm here like Elazar ben Derdaya. I also want smicha from the Rabbono Sholem. I want to be able to say, Eina davar tali elabi. That's the very personal track to tshuva. Again, the Chazal are really describing that Rashi is describing to us. The three mashalim, the single file sheep, the ascent of Beis Maron, the single file soldiers. That's one track. That's one mahalich in the Yom Noram. But my friends, what's the other half? The other half is, this is totally, totally, totally not a time for a Jew to separate himself from the klal. This is totally not a time for a Jew to say, I'm going to do this on my own. There is no time, more than ever, that I want to be part of the tzibur. Because as the Mishnah says, in a different halachic context, the tzibur can't die. The melech is chafetz b'chaim. Hashem wants to give life. Individuals die, but Chazal say, in a Mishnah in Maseches Temura, again in a slightly different context, but also in a very simple sense that I'm presenting it now, ein hatzibur meis. The tzibur can't die. Klal Yisrael will live on. So if I make myself part of Klal Yisrael, instead of trying to get ahead in the line, to be an individual calling before the king, look at me, give me life, give me parnasa, give me a shidduch, give me children, give me what I want. When I join the tzibur, when I become part of Klal Yisrael, that's the best opportunity, that's the greatest ticket to having success on the Yom Nara. There's a beautiful quote that I love. Quote from a fellow named John Andrew Holmes. It's a great quote. Listen to this quote. It's so honest, it's so real, it's so true. It is well to remember that the entire universe, with one trifling exception, is composed of others. Let me say it again. You can process it. It is well to remember that the entire universe, with one trifling exception, with one small exception, namely me, that part of myself, the ani, the me, it's well to remember that the entire universe, with one trifling exception, is composed of others. There's a lot more other than there is me in the world, in the 7.5 billion people on planet Earth. And by the way, Hashem is also interested in the animals, and Hashem is interested in a blade of grass, a leaf on a tree. That's also part of Hashem's world. And therefore, we remind ourselves that the melech is chafetz b'chaim. Hashem desires life. Look at the word chaim. Did you ever think about the word chaim, the Hebrew word for life? Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, ironically, the Rosh Hashiva from the Mir Yeshiva, plural. Look at the word Chaim. The very word is plural. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz said, you know what that means? That means life is only meaningful in the context of others. I want to be a part of others. That's what makes life alive. How many of us would like, okay, fine, so once in a while, our roommates get on our nerves and our parents get on our nerves, and we kind of just want to be alone. But how many of us would sign up for a life? Imagine you could have all the things that you want. But imagine living a life on a desert island by yourself. Yeah? Imagine that. Is that chai? Is that living? Life, the flavor of life is being with others, is being with people. And therefore, how can I not take achrayis for others? Isn't that more important than anything else? Isn't that what I want to bring to the table when I'm asking Hashem for chaim? So show Hashem. I know what chaim is. Chaim is plural. Chaim is not about me. Chaim is about seeing myself as part of a team called Klal Yisrael. And more than that, seeing myself as part of the world. That everyone comes before Hashem. It's true. It is single file. But what's the next line in that Gemara? After the Gemara describes three different mashalim, like the sheep that go single file, like the steep cliff where you pass single file, like the soldiers marching single file. But then the Gemara says, in case you're confused by that, in case you think Rosh Hashanah is all about the me, the I, the self, says Rabbi Yochanan, v'kula niskarin b'skira achas. Even though, yes, they're lining up one by one, but Hashem has the ability to glance at everything at once. Hashem sees the big picture. Hashem sees the context of you in relation to others. So what the Gemara is really telling us is that there's this unbelievable balance. There's something very deep, there's something very personal. There's something about these days where a Jew has to say, Eina davar tole elabi, I need to be the best me. But then there's also a part of these days where I have to see myself as part of that big picture, the panorama that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at. To remember the world is filled mostly with others and just a little bit of me. And that Chaim is plural because real life is being focused on other people. I want to tell you a story about a tzaddik from Yerushalayim. There was a tzaddik in Yerushalayim known as the Teplik HaRav. And the Teplik HaRav, people would come to him very often after Yom Kippur, between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. He was a big bucky, he was a big expert in the laws of lulav and esrog. And people would come and they'd bring their esrog, they'd bring their lulav, and they would want that he should check it out to see, to make sure it's kosher. Mahadrim and a mahadrim, I want the best esrog. And when people would come to him, he would always say, okay, you bought yourself a lulav and esrog, but also I'm collecting tzedakah on behalf of people who have needs as well, people who can't afford. And people would give him, he was a big tzaddik, people were very happy to allot tzedakah to him, to be distributed to Aniyah Yerushalayim. So there's one fellow who came to him one year, clutching his very fancy and expensive lulav and esrog. And he comes to the Teplik HaRav, Shimon Aaron Polanski was his name, and he says, Rebbe, take a look at my lulav and esrog. It's very nice, beautiful. So he says to him, I always like to collect a little bit of tzedakah on behalf of Aniya Yerushalayim. So this fellow says to him, Rebbe, I have a lot of my own expenses. I have a lot of my own things I have to take care of. It's very tight this year. I don't have... Now, he's looking at this lulav and esrog that clearly he spent an exorbitant sum on. Right? But the fellow's saying it's very tight this year, and I can barely make it work for my own family. I don't really have anything extra to give. So the Teplik HaRav looked at him, and he said, let me tell you something. Nothing is going to happen to you if you borrow the Dalid Minim. You don't need a lulav and esrog. Take your lulav and esrog back to the marketplace, sell your lulav and esrog, and give the money to tzedakah. I know you're very excited. You brought me your lulav and esrog because you're all excited about it. It's beautiful. It's mamash mahudar. Mahudar shabu mahudar. Mahadrim and mahadrim. But I promise you, he said, nothing is going to happen to you. You can fulfill the mitzvah of lulav and esrog by borrowing from someone else. You don't need your own lulav and esrog. But let me tell you something. If one poor person doesn't have what to eat, and they cry out to the Rabbono Sholem in their hunger, in their pain, that I don't have what to eat, I can't provide food for my children, I can't buy a pair of shoes for my kids for Yontif, or a pair of pants or a new dress, he said, I promise you, that cry is going to be big trouble for you. That cry is going to be big trouble for you. I promise you, if you don't have a lulav and esrog, you're going to be fine. You can do the mitzvah, you can borrow from someone else, but what that tear could arouse, the kitrugim and shemayim, that one tear could arouse, I promise you, that's going to be a big deal for you. You're going to have to deal with that. So go sell your lulav and esrog. And by the way, the Teplik HaRav practiced what he preached. I once read a maisa, the Teplik HaRav, one time, he heard his neighbor, he heard next door, he heard some children crying. And he walked into the apartment next door, and he sees some kids standing there, right? A classic sukkah scene, a kid with an esrog in his hand, and of course, what's missing? The pitam. You know, a little Erev Sukkot's lulav baseball. The next thing you know, the pitam is missing. So Teplik HaRav says, he says to these children, he says, right here. He goes back to his apartment, he gets his esrog, and he gives it to these kids. He wipes away their tears, and he gives them this. He says, don't tell your father that I gave you this lulav and esrog, I gave you this esrog, because he's not going to feel comfortable using it. But I want you to have it. He told the kids, he said, I'm trusting you, it's my esrog, but I want you to, it's more important to me that you have an esrog, that you don't get in trouble with your father, that you don't feel bad going into Zman Simcha Seinu, you don't feel sad going into Sukkot. That's more important to me than that I should have my own esrog to walk around with. Because it's not about me. And that's what the Gemara is saying. V'kula nisrakin b'skira achas. Hashem, yes, it's single file, but Hashem looks at it in the context of the big picture. Hashem sees the whole thing. Hashem wants to see, where do you fall into line in relation to others? Are you just trying to push to the front of the line because all you care about is yourself? Or are you signing up to join Yacha to give opportunities to other people to be able to have achayim, to be able to have more chiyus in their life, to have experiences that literally, like Avi described, they cannot have without you? Let's go back to the Gemara one more time. Rashi said all three mashalim are just variations of the same idea, single file. But there was a tzaddik in Yerushalayim, he passed away in 1953. He was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, of the Eidah Charedis, a tzaddik named Rav Zelig Ruvain Bengis. And Rav Bengis Atzal explained this Gemara in a way, I hate to say, more nuanced than Rashi, because Rashi certainly could have said his many pshatim as well. But he explains it more b'derech drush. He breaks it down a little bit more. He says, let's look at the three examples and not learn them as all being the same single file. Said the tzaddik from Yerushalayim, Rav Zelig Ruvain Bengis, sheep. The sheep walk together. You ever seen a flock of sheep? They travel together in a group. But let's be honest, how much does one sheep understand its relationship to the other sheep? How much can a sheep, as an animal, with its limited mental faculties and abilities, can it be expected to provide? I'm not saying that animals don't have some sense of compassion. There's fascinating books and essays written about that, and how animals provide for their young as well. But in a certain sense, every sheep is really only interested in itself. So yes, there's a group, there's a flock, they travel together, but there's a sense that every man for himself, or every sheep for himself. The second example, the steep incline, the steps of Beis Maron, Says Rav Zalig, Reuven Bengis, think about steps. What's the nature of steps? Every step, on the one hand, is independent, and yet the steps are connected. The steps are connected in such a way that if you're climbing up steps, if some of the steps about halfway up are broken, so that's going to affect the higher steps and the lower steps. So says Rav Bengis, the second explanation is what? Is that we have to see ourselves as Jews as being connected in such a way that yes, the choices that I make, the way I live my life, my responsibility is to the steps who are above me, to people who are greater than me, and people who are below me, people who are beneath me. And lastly, says Rav Zelig Reuven Bengis, what greater image could we possibly have for people working together in the deepest of ways than what? Than the third example of the Chayalos of Beis David, the soldiers of David's army. A soldier in an army has the deepest achrayus for another human being. Literally responsible for another human being's life. And that's maybe the highest level that we're striving for in the Yom Ha'aretz. Where a Jew comes to shul, not just petitioning for myself, but I want every Jew in the world, I want every person in the world to be given bracha, to be given good things. I take achrayus for everyone and anyone around me. Before I taught in YU, I used to teach for 5 years in TABC, in the boys' high school in Teaneck. And I had a student who graduated, went to the Israeli army, came back, so excited to see him. And he said, Rabbi, can I share a few words with your class? I said, sure, of course. I would love, you know, for you to be a guest speaker. And he comes into class, and he puts on his whole, you know, like army voice. And he starts to give a lesson. He says, I want to teach one of the first lessons that we learned in the army and a lesson that was emphasized over and over and over again in the army. It's an amazing teaching. It's a beautiful teaching. He was told by his leaders, by those who were above him in the army, as they were training him, they told him, being a soldier means taking achrayus for others. In the deepest of ways. Again, the soldiers of David's army, literally fighting to protect each other's lives. Achrayus. And the soldier explained to this young fellow who had just entered into the army, he explained to him that the word achrayus teaches you about achrayus. First of all, he said, look at the word achrayus. It starts with an aleph and it ends with a taf. Because achrayus means starting the job strong and finishing all the way to the end. Aleph to taf, A to Z. Second of all, he said, look at the word achrayus. It takes you through the steps of what it means to take responsibility for another human being. It starts with the letter aleph, which he was taught in the army means it starts with yourself. If you don't take achrayus for yourself, aleph, the ani, the one, so then how could I possibly be responsible to take care of others if I don't? I would also say, this was not the way he was taught in the army, but I would say the one is also the one. And the capital O. The Echad, the one and only, the Ribbono Shel Olam. You have to have the Ribbono Shel Olam to get anything started. He says, what happens after the Aleph comes the letter Ches? Aleph and Ches is what? Is Ach. Ach means brother. A person takes responsibility, first and foremost, for my brother, for my immediate family. Right? Ani ledodi vedodi li, yes. But also what? Es levavcha ve'es levav zarecha. I take responsible for my biological relatives. Aleph ches, what's next? Resh, acher. After I've taken responsibility for my closest relatives, then I take responsibility for acher, for any other person, for any other human being in the world. I show concern for all people. And after that, I add the letter yud, acharai, which means what? I bring others to join me in that process. I teach others to take responsibility for others. And I hope that that person will pass the message forward. I add the letter vav of the word achrayus, which is acharav, that he in turn will bring other people after him. And then, of course, I finish the job with the tough achrayus, from beginning to end. The soldiers of Beis David. So when Chazal are painting a picture for us, again, of coming to the Yom Ha'aretz, we have two very different images. We have, again, the single file, the individual, that sense of personal achrayus, that responsibility to own up, ein adavar toli elabi. The sense of ad shelo notzarti eini kedai. My life was precisely timed like Rav Kook taught us. And yet at the same time as Rav Bengis explained, these three mashalim represent three levels of responsibility. Like a sheep who cares mostly about himself or itself. And then like one climbing the steps, how steps are more deeply connected to one another. Again, without a true understanding to take responsibility. And lastly, like a soldier in an army, stands that we have to do this together if we're going to be successful. Chazal tells us in Maseches Shabbos, give me just 3 more minutes, we'll wrap up. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Shabbos, on Daf Kuf Nun Aleph Amud Beis, Kol Amarachim Ala Brios, anyone who has rachmanis on someone else, if you care for someone else, if you daven for someone else, if you have rachmanis, you provide for someone else, merachmin alav min hashamayim. Then Hashem will take care of you. Take care of others and Hashem will take care of you. Shabbos Kufnon Aleph Amud Beis. Listen to the words of the Mesilas Yeshar. The Ramchal in the Mesilas Yeshar in chapter 19 quotes this Gemara and he says, V'zeh poshut. It's so obvious to us. You don't need the quote from John Andrew Holmes to understand that there's a lot more others than there is me. Says the Mesilas Yeshar, it's poshut. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu modeid midah keneged midah. Hashem always operates measure for measure. Umisha merachim v'oseh chesed im abrios. If you care about other people and you provide for them, gam hu bedino yirachameyu v'yimchaleyu lo avonos of the chesed. Then Hashem will provide for you. Rachmanis for you. Mechila for you. Chesed for you. Sharei mechila zo dinhu. Because then your forgiveness is perfectly justified. You don't have to be scared to come before Hashem on the Yom Noram. Hashem, I take care of your kids. I take care of my fellow Jews, and you take care of me. Pashut, he says. Kaven shi mida kenegin midaso. Or as the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, lemi no se avon, lemi sha'over al pesha. Who does Hashem forgive? The one who forgives others. Sometimes in life there are other people who do things that are uncomfortable for you, who wrong you. But be willing to forgive and to forgo. Umi sha'ina rotza lahavri al midosa, but a person who's not willing to forgive others, a person who's so self-centered that it's always about me, God forbid such a person, o'eino rotza ligmol chesed, I don't want to give my precious time to help someone else. Hine adin nosin shagam imo lo yasu ela shura sadin. Okay. You want to be so precise with your time? You want to be so precise with the life? I don't have extra life to share with someone else, to mechazik someone else. So guess what? You know what's going to happen to you? Hashem says, okay, that's how you want to do it? Fine. So then, Midas Hadin. Midas Hadin. You didn't have a Midah of Chesed, you weren't kind to others, so Hashem says, no kindness for you on the Yom Noram. Says the Mesilas Yeshar, Re'ei Ata. Think for just half a second. Is there anyone in the world, is there any human being in the world who feels that they can come, he or she can come before the Rabbanu Shalom and say, Hashem, I'm ready to be judged straight. No Chesed, no Rachamim, no Avinu, just Malkeinu, straight up. Is there anyone who could withstand such a judgment? Mi hu ze ve'ezahu, says the Mesilas Yesharim, is there anyone in the world, sheyuchol lamod, emakadosh baruch hu osa imo shura sadin? If Hashem gives you the letter of the law, is there anyone in the world who can survive? Amnam ha'osa chesed yikabel chesed, but a person who does chesed will receive the chesed of Hashem. U'kechol ma sheyarbe lasos, kach yarbe lekabel. And the more you give to others, the more you're going to get for yourself. I'll tell you one more amazing story. An unbelievable story. The Altar of Kelm, Rav Simcha Zissel Zif, the Altar of Kelm once had a very unusual dream. Amazing story. It's found in a Sefer Das Chaim. He had this unbelievable dream, he said, where in his dream it was revealed to him that Rabbeinu Yonah was coming to town to give shir. Now Rabbeinu Yonah lived in the 1300s. Rabbeinu Yonah lived hundreds of years before the Altar of Kelm. But in his dream, the Altar of Kelm was going to host Rabbeinu Yonah in his town. He was going to give a Musar Shmuz before Yom Noram. Unbelievable. Rabbeinu Yonah, the author of the Shari Tshuva, one of the most essential works on how to do tshuva. Unbelievable. So he's all excited and he hung up posters, he spread the word. You know, maybe he got some food and some Diet Coke or whatever, like we have in the back here, so generous. Yeah, so he made it. Okay. Everyone came to shul. And people are filing into shul. And all of a sudden the Altar of Kelm comes to the shul. He's ready to walk into the shul. And there's a guard standing by the door. This is not for you. Whoa, what do you mean it's not for me? Do you know who I am? I'm the Altar of Kelm. He says, sorry, not coming in. I'm not coming in? I'm not going to be zocha to hear the shir from Rabbeinu Yonah? How can such a thing be? So he starts to, you know, I have some merits. I have a lot of talmidim. I put a lot of time into harbatzas haTorah to spread the word of God. You know, nothing. You're not letting me in. Not coming in. So he says in his dream, he says to the guard, he says, do you know who my son is? So he says, who's your son? He says, my son is Rav Nachum Velvel. He's the son of the Altar of Kelm. Oh, your son is Nachum Velvel? Come on in. And they invite him in, and he takes his seat, and Rabbeinu Yonah walks in, and that's the end of the dream. He didn't get to hear the drasha. didn't get to hear what Rabbeinu Yonah had to say. So needless to say, he wakes up. He goes the next morning, immediately early in the morning, he goes to his son, Rav Nachum Velvel, and he says, I had this crazy dream. He starts telling him this whole dream. Rabbeinu Yonah was coming to give the shiur. They wouldn't let me into the Beis Medrash. And I mentioned your name, and they let me in. Why? What is it? So Rav Nachum Velvel thinks for a minute, and he says, I have a feeling it's this. I don't know for sure. I have a feeling that there's something I once did, which I often feel that if I have any merit in this world, it's the following. Rav Nachum Velvel himself was not a particularly wealthy person. And he said his shoes had become so worn and so broken that he desperately needed new shoes. He was not a person who had, 50 pairs of shoes in the closet, needless to say. But he saved up and he saved up and he saved up. And finally, he bought himself a nice, half-normal, decent pair of shoes. He says he's sitting in his home, it's a wintry night, he gets a knock on the door, there's a poor person at the door, tattered clothing, he invites him in, gives him a warm cup of tea, something to eat, he sits him down, takes care of him, he provides, he talks to him, he's mechazik him, and as the fellow gets up to leave, he realizes the fellow's barefoot. The guy is literally barefoot, walking outside, back into the snow, literally with nothing on his feet. And Rav Nachum Velvel said, I didn't have to think very long at all. He said, I took off the shoes that I had saved up, and I spent a long time saving up to be able to acquire such a pair of shoes that I myself should have a decent pair of shoes. He said, I pulled out my old shoes from the closet, not for the poor person, for myself. And he said, so I looked at this person's feet. And they were chapped and they were broken. And they were bleeding and bruised from walking around for who knows how long in the snow. And I gave the shoes to him. And he said to his father, Father, if I got you into that Beis Medrash to hear the shiur from the Rabbeinu Yonah, the author of Shari Tshuva, if it was my zchus that got you in, I have a feeling it must have been that. It must have been when I did that act of chesed with that poor person. Listen to the words of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Shari Tshuva, Ha'ikar Hayud Zayin, the 17th technique to being zocha badin, to being successful this year. Lirdov pu'ulas ha'chesed, run after chesed. Run after chesed. Give away the shoes to someone you don't even know. Lirdov pu'ulas ha'chesed v'ha'emes. As it said, chesed v'emes yichupar avon. V'nei ha'chesed yogein ba'ad ha'chote v'yishmar alav mini yisurin. There's nothing that'll save you better than helping out someone else. I realized today when I was davening mincha, mechal kel chayim b'chesed, mechayim meisim b'rachim emrabim. A new kavana for Shmona Esrei. Mechal kel chayim b'chesed. What's the pashup shot? Hashem, you sustain people with kindness. You're so nice, you give me food. You give me parnasa. You got me that summer internship. Mechaye meisim barachim emrabim. Hashem, in your infinite mercy, you revive the dead. But let's learn it differently tonight. And maybe we can take this with us into the Yom Nora. Mechal kel chayim. Hashem, you give me parnasa, you give me money, you give me financial success. You know why you give it to me? Bechesed. In accordance with the chesed that I do for other people. Mechaye meisim, I'm trying to renew my contract on life. It's up, the year is up. I only have a 1-year contract. I'm basically asking for tchias meisim for another year of life. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to me, okay, let's see your rachamim rabim. Birachamim rabim. What does your rachmanis look like? If you have rachmanis, if you do acts of chesed, you'll have no problem being renewed for another year. And therefore, when it's all said and done, after Yom Kippur, and with this I mamish conclude, when it's all said and done, we come to Zman Simchaseinu, we come to the Sukkah. And the Gemara says about the Sukkah, Ru'uyin kol Yisrael leishev b'sukkah achas. There's an unbelievable unity and joy that's experienced on the Yom Tov Sukkos. When the Jewish people come together and they understand that yes, every individual Jew is awesome, but the team Klal Yisrael is infinitely greater. Listen to the words of Rabbi Jonathan Sacks. Why do we read Koheles on Sukkos? Koheles is failure to find meaning. When Koheles is saying, Hevel Havalim, life could sometimes be so meaningless. You know why? Rabbi Jonathan Sacks is an amazing thing. Kohelet's failure to find meaning is directly related to his obsession with the I and the me. What does Shlomo Melech say as Kohelet? I built for myself. I gathered for myself. I acquired for myself. We read Kohelet on Sukkot reminding us that yes, is there a very personal component to the Yom Noram? Absolutely. But more than anything else, there has to be a sense of a team called Klal Yisrael. The chesed you do for others is the most guaranteed way to be zocha b'din. And if you're going to live a life, says Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, the more he pursues his desires, the emptier his life becomes. There's no more powerful critique of the consumer society whose idol is the self, whose icon is the selfie, and whose moral code is whatever works for you. This is the society that achieved unprecedented affluence, giving people more choice than they have ever known, and yet at the same time, saw an unprecedented rise in alcohol, drug abuse, eating disorders, stress-related syndromes, depression, attempted suicide, and actual suicide. A culture of narcissism quickly gives way to loneliness and despair. And therefore, let's remember as we come to the Yom HaDin, we come together as soldiers fighting for one another. So when we read this parsha, this Shabbos, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem, as we come immediately after Shabbos into Rosh Hashanah, think about those words. Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem. Yes, as individuals we pass before Hashem. But there needs to be a sense of Kulchem. As the Pasuk says, Rosheichem, Shivteichem, Ziknechem, Shoshreichem, wood choppers, water carriers, all of the Jewish people coming together to fight together as soldiers who have each other's back, who take achrayas for one another, to make sure that everyone should be zocha to chsiv achsim atova. So Mirtz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should answer all of our tefillos. Again, I'm sure everyone here is going to take advantage of the amazing opportunities Yachad offers you, and Mirtz Hashem will all be zocha to experience only good things in our lives. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Rabbi Moshe Zvi Weinberg. I really appreciate it. Just three very quick notes. First of all, if there are a million of people who want to daven, we can daven up here, shkias, in about like a minute or two. So let's hop around quickly.